Well, only two sitting weeks now remain this year for the federal government to pass contentious reforms to environmental approvals. To break down the week that was, our Friday political panel is here. Phil Khoury is political editor with the Australian Financial Review. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sal.
Karen Middleton is political columnist with The Monthly. Karen, hello.
Hello, Sally.
And Mel Clark, she's homegrown, Radio National Breakfast political correspondent. Hi, Mel.
Hi, Sally.
Now, welcome to you all. Phil, I'll start with you. Reforms to environmental approvals have finally come to Parliament. The Environment Minister, Murray Watt, told us yesterday he's confident that he can get this passed. Is that confidence justified from what we've seen so far?
Oh, it took a bit of a hit late yesterday, Sally, when the Senate voted, the non-Labor parties voted to kick it to a Senate inquiry, which won't report until March next year. So that... it's very unusual for a bill to pass while it's still being inquired into, so it looks like this may now drag over the summer and into the new year. It is a really important piece of legislation. As Ken Henry said earlier this year, it is the single most important productivity measure this country needs, is to fix that broken EPBC Act, because it's abjectly failing both the environment and the business side of it. From what it sounds like, the minister's sort of put together a fairly good compromise, but at the start of that process, the edict was both sides have to give, and at this stage both sides are standing their ground prepared not to give much, so it'll be a wrangle over the next few months, I suspect, unless something shifts that we're not aware of and they could still jam it through before Parliament rises.
Karen, the impossible question, who's it more likely to be the dance partner here, the Greens or the Coalition?
Well, I suppose there's arguments in favour of both and against both for the government. I think they possibly would prefer to do a deal with the Coalition.
Buy-in later?
Well, yes, and the distancing from the Greens, and they've historically had a sort of... irritation with the Greens, and the Greens sort of declaring that they had the biggest block in the Senate and they were going to have the power, etc. So the government doesn't mind slapping them about a little occasionally and just saying, look, we don't entirely need you all the time. But it's not a done deal yet. I know the minister was courageously saying, oh, well, everyone's unhappy, so we must have got it right.
Covers no one backs it. Then.
Good try, that's right. I think you'd rather everyone was happy. That's not going to happen either. So there's a ways to go, as Phil says, now there's this inquiry extended to March next year. That makes it much harder for the government.
Mel, what's the political situation for the Coalition here? Is it the best political decision for them to compromise and be inside the tent here?
Look, for the Coalition, there's definitely a lot of pressure here. The business community wants a deal and would prefer a deal done with the Coalition. So in the advice that they're taking from the business sector, there's certainly pressure there to make sure that they are part of the game. The problem for the Coalition is there's not necessarily the same level of unity within the party about what's the best outcome compared to, say, the Greens, where if you're at least negotiating with the Greens, you can be pretty confident the whole team can be on the same page. Susan Lee doesn't really have that luxury at this point because this issue intersects with so many other elements. I can see Phil getting ready to bust in.
But I think
the Coalition is under pressure to do the deal, but it's a difficult one for Susan Lee to do because of the party.
And it is emblematic because Lee, as Environment Minister, commissioned Graham Samuel 5 years ago to review the Act and come up with these recommended changes, which are more or less reflected in the bill. So Lee's got a buy-in there, and it's a perfect opportunity for her as leader of the Liberal Party after that massive loss to make good on that pledge to sort of bring them back to the centre and be a bit more cooperative. And this is a classic opportunity.
And a chance for her to demonstrate that she's got the leadership chops to bring everyone together.
When Watt sort of... Earlier this week or late last week, the initial noises from the Coalition were favourable, and then they hardened their stance, I guess, due to the Minerals Council and the BCA and some of the National Party and others got in their ear. So I think it would be good for Lee optically to be able to land this thing for the Coalition. But as Mel said, it's more the internals and the lobbying that's probably the problem. But they're closer to a deal with the Greens than the Coalition on this. They don't have to give so much to get the Greens on side, and they will do it if they have to. They're not going to be held to ransom on this, and that's something that the business community and the Coalition need to be mindful of.
Karen, on a separate issue, transparency, we saw more interest than we usually see in question time in the Senate yesterday.
And more question time than we usually
more
see.
More a big family size pack of question time yesterday. This is around the issue of transparency and putting pressure on the government to release a report from 2 years ago about appointments to government boards. What is happening here?
Well, this was a crossbench initiated report originally, and now Senator David Pocock, independent from the ACT in the Senate, is pushing the government to release it, making the point that the Minister for Finance, Katie Gallagher, had originally said she would make it public, but 2 years later it hasn't been made public. So now the crossbench in the Senate doesn't have quite the power that it had in the last Parliament. It's finding other ways to put pressure on the government, and the way that they found was to get enough support to extend question time by five questions, and they were five opposition slash crossbench questions, not government questions, half an hour extra of question time. And the government sort of saw their trickery and raised them yesterday by saying, going, you want question time? Okay. And so then they went on and on for 2.5 hours with government senators mustering all
the
their...
Three and a half, was it?
Three and a half hours, yeah. Beg your pardon.
Longest in history.
Mustering, government senators mustering all their outrage, saying, why should we be disadvantaged if opposition senators want more time? We should have more time. I want to defend my constituents too. And it went on and yelling and the like.
And of course, Thursday afternoon can be sensitive as senators and members are looking to head home.
Oh, yeah.
They miss their flights.
They want to get on the plane. Yes, that's right. So nobody likes sticking around longer than they need to on a Thursday. So the point was made in both directions.
What's the broader issue of transparency for the government right now, Mel?
The government's under a lot of pressure on this issue. It's one where we've had a series of examples of where transparency perhaps hasn't been at its best, and some of that criticism is coming from respected independent authorities like, you know, the Centre for Public Integrity, which is well regarded as non-partisan. So it is rightfully taking some heat over various aspects, whether it's producing documents as ordered by the Senate, whether it's their attempts to change the FOI laws, revealing details about deals struck with Nauru for asylum seekers. There's a series of events here that I think has created a mounting case that the government could be doing a lot better on transparency. And when we have seen members of parliament, like many of the crossbenchers, campaign very specifically on transparency measures and come with a degree of credibility for holding the government to account on this, they are facing that anger from the crossbench and through them, the community. This is something that could have a creeping impact on the government if it is not careful to address the concerns that have been raised.
Phil, why is the government digging its heels in here? Why not release it?
I can only assume there's stuff in there they don't want out there. I mean,
you've got to think, yeah.
Because it was an initiative of Sophie Scomps in the lower house. She brought in some bill called the "Oh, they're all evil and put their mates on board" bill or something like that. And there was a private member's bill, it didn't get up, but the upshot was the government agreed to do this review by...
But why not wear that criticism, is it almost becoming counterproductive?
Well,
now?
It's comical almost, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure Percy Punter out there looking at his power bill thinks, great, you know, that's what they're doing up in Canberra, you know, playing games in the Senate. But, you'd have to ask them why they're not going to release it. They've slapped a cabinet in confidence on it, so that means they never have to release it.
Which, of course, they always criticise the Morrison government for doing all the time.
That's right. But what's interesting here from a political dynamic, Sal, is the motion that David Pocock brought up to extend question time. What was interesting is the coalition supported it. Now, normally there's an unwritten rule between the major parties. You give them independence, nothing. And because the Liberals will be back in government one day, presumably, you don't do something that can blow back on you when you're in government. So Labor's anger is at the coalition here for doing this. They've sort of broken the code, if you like, between the major parties, that you protect each other from stuff you don't want to happen to you if you're back in government. And that's what makes it a bit more interesting than usual.
It makes it a bit for a tactical misreading from Labor here, because they weren't anticipating that the coalition would do
that.
Right. If they had just released the document or redacted some of it, I'm not sure how much public attention a report into the merit of public service appointments is really going to gain in mainstream attention. But people do pay attention when there's shenanigans. There's a bit of a miscalculation.
They're probably making more of it than they need to. Mm. I mean, you reckon if the government released a report says Government's put their mates on board. Do you reckon the public would say, wow, really? I mean,
Should they just have done a Friday afternoon drop?
Maybe, but the other dynamic here, Sally, is it's a personal one. This is David Pocock versus Katie Gallagher. They are direct opponents in the ACT. They're both up at every election. There's no love lost between
them. He's on the rise.
And Labor does not like him. So I think there's an extra little bit of digging in on that point too.
Time is against us. We won't get to talk about T-shirts and debate around T-shirts when worn by the Prime Minister. thanks so much for coming in this morning. Phil Khoury from the Australian Financial Review.
No worries,
Karen Middleton also with us, who is a political columnist with The Monthly. Karen,
thank you, Sally.
After a lovely walk around the lake this
thank
morning,
you very
I
much.
Hear half your luck. And Mel Clark, thank you.
Thanks, Sal.